Please pray with me. Almighty and ever-living God, the source and perfection of all virtues, please grant that I may employ myself in what is just and preach what is true, so that in my preaching and in my ministry I may provide for your faithful people the teaching that brings them grace. Amen. As we already know, on Tuesday, a polarized, evenly divided country voted for the next president of the United States. And that night, over 120 million anxious, fearful, and prayerful people watched their TVs as the results rolled in. Some of us stayed awake until the magic number of 270 electoral votes was reached, but I went to bed before that happened. Upon awakening Wednesday morning, which, by the way, is a wonderful way to start one's day, I walked outside, breathed some fresh air, heard the birds, saw the sun rise in the east, and thanked God for the new day. Unfortunately, as the day unfolded, what myself and many other clergy feared would happen, no matter who won, began. Thousands poured out onto the streets of a divided nation to express their frustration at the election's result. From New York to Los Angeles, demonstrators have marched in various cities for four nights since Trump's unexpected victory. Whether or not the election results have made you hopeful or fearful or happy or sad, your emotions, your feelings are legitimate. They are real because they are how you are experiencing what is occurring in our country. Is there something to be afraid of? Is there something to be hopeful for? Only time will tell. But what my middle-aged wisdom has taught me is that the changes the government implements will either negatively impact me, it will not affect me at all, or it will benefit me regardless of who I did or did not vote for. Realizing those three things has helped me to understand what the psalmist wrote in Psalm 146, verses 3 through 7. Do not put your trust in princes or other people who cannot save you. When people die, they are buried. Then all of their plans come to an end. Happy are those who are helped by the God of Jacob. Their hope is in the Lord their God. We as a country and as individuals therein have been polarized into an us versus them mentality, where you are either for us or you are against us. And if you are not for us, then you must be against us. There is no middle ground in this situation. But such thinking is harmful and it is very destructive because it immediately eliminates grace, it eliminates hope, and it eliminates peace. The United States are at a pivotal point, and we as the church must ask ourselves the question Bishop Brewer asked in his pastoral letter. Can we, the church, be a haven of civility, a place where conversations on race, gender, and class can occur in the light of the gospel? Can we, the church, be a haven of civility, a place where conversations on race, gender, and class can occur in the light of the gospel? If our answer is no, or even a maybe, then our current fears will become tomorrow's reality. But if our answer is yes, then we can bring joy and hope where there is fear and pessimism, irregardless of who is residing in the White House. And when we say yes to being a haven of civility, then we have begun to believe the first song of Isaiah, also known as Canticle 9, also known as Isaiah 12, verses 2 through 6. Surely it is God who saves me. I will trust in him and not be afraid. For the Lord is my stronghold and my sure defense, and he will be my Savior. I want you to notice that in this verse, there is no us. There is no we. There is only me. Which means a church, a community, and even a country changes its ways, not in large groups, but by each individual person allowing God to fill them with the Holy Spirit and change them. And as each person trusts in God, fear is conquered and hope brings joy, which unites our church and will heal our divided nation. Where does the church begin to be a haven of civility, where conversations on race, gender, and class can occur in the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ? It begins with a recommitment of our lives to Jesus Christ, which we did last week when we reaffirmed our baptismal covenant and said, I will, with God's help, to this question. Will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being? Will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being? And we said, I will, with God's help. And if we really meant what we promised to God, then we must pray and we must listen to each other. We must truly listen to each other. And then we will be willing to forgive. We will be willing to be reconciled to God and to each other. And we will be willing to say to each person as we depart in peace, go in peace and pray for me, a sinner. Go in peace and pray for me, a sinner. But there is one tremendously huge obstacle to mending any relationship, whether or not it's between husband and wife, parents and children, between friends if there's an argument, is that as we talk with each other, we must be willing to be open to the possibility that we might be the ones who need to change, no matter which side you are on. Because God doesn't see sides, because sides change all the time. What God sees is what's truly in our hearts. God sees what is truly in our hearts. And now let us pray this prayer for our country. O Lord, our governor, whose glory is in all the world, we commend this nation to your merciful care, that being guided by your providence, we may dwell secure in your peace. Grant to the President of the United States, the governor of this state, and to all in authority, wisdom and strength to know and to do your will. Fill them with the love of truth and righteousness, and make them ever mindful of their calling to serve this people in your fear. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. Amen. And now let us pray this prayer for ourselves. O God, the Father of all, whose Son commanded us to love our enemies, lead them and us from prejudice to truth, deliver them and us from hatred, cruelty, and revenge, and in your good time, enable us all to stand reconciled before you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. We'll have a moment of silence at this time.